Anybody ever heard of the iTunes? Everybody heard of iTunes? Everybody heard of it? Surely you have. You know what I mean? Well, with that being said, this series has a little bit to do with music because I like music. Anybody like music? I like music. And oftentimes, music just kind of moves me. It moves anybody else? I'm the only one. Anyway, but check this out. One of the things that Michelle and I do is we go work out. We go work out at Ted and Missy's place. And whenever we're there, one of the things that I do kind of to distract myself is tune out what's going on or even what my body's doing and just tune into the music. Anybody know what I'm saying? Especially if I like the song. Well, this actually happened several months ago. We were working out and a song came on and I thought, that is a cool song. That song should be in a message. So guess what? It's in a message, all right? So listen to the beginning of this song, and I got it here on my phone so you can listen. So here we go. We'll see if you can identify it. All right, now, did you guys hear it? I'm going to rewind it. I want you to listen real close to what it says, just the beginning of it. Just the beginning of it, because it has to do with what this entire series is about. This entire series is really focusing around what this song is talking about at the very beginning. All right, here we go again. My heart's a stereo. It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. All right, listen, here are the words, all right? I got it up here on the screen so you can check it out. And I better shut off my phone because somebody will text me just to be smart. Just to be smart. Some of you are like, man, I wish I'd have thought of that right then. Check this out. Here's what it says. Here's what that song was saying. Here's the words, the first lyrics you just heard. My heart is a stereo. It's a stereo. All right, listen to this. It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Uh-oh. That's really off key, but you get what I'm saying. Listen to it, though. Listen to what it's saying. Now, think about it. You remember, in my world, I revolve everything about God. I revolve everything about God. So in my world, when I heard that song, I don't know what the brother's singing about. I have no earthly idea. But when I heard it, it spoke to my heart because it's saying something about my heart. My heart's a stereo. It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Everything that's going on inside of me, God, I want you to hear. All right, and again, I'm taking a secular song and preaching the gospel, but I'm telling you, listen to this. Next one, make me your radio and turn me up when you feel low. This melody was meant for you. All right, and I'll stop right there, but listen to this, and I haven't listened to any of the other words of the song. I mean, when that part rolls around, I sing that, and I don't know any of the other. Anyway, all right, but here's my point. I think there's a powerful message in that, and really it's what this whole series is about. This series is completely about the tune of your heart, the tune of your heart. What is going on deep down on the inside of your heart? Tonight, all I'm going to do is lay the foundation for your heart, to talk a little bit about your heart. If you've been here very long at all, you know that I preach about renewing your mind and renewing your mind with the Word of God and doing all those things, which are absolutely powerful. But oftentimes, and I'll be honest with you, and I've been preaching now for, I don't know, 15 years or so or whatever, and in that time, probably a little bit longer than that, but in that time, I've never preached a message on, that I can remember, on your heart. Specifically, just about your heart, just about your heart. And so tonight, we're going to take it from really a foundational level. And because I'm kind of nerdy in disguise, I want to throw in some science into this so that you will begin to recognize exactly what's going on in your heart. So understand my purpose tonight. My purpose is for you to begin to identify what is going on in your heart. What is going on in your heart? Okay? Everybody say the heart. Everybody say the heart matters. The heart matters because it really, really does. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at the appearance. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. Look at this. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the what? Outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Everybody say, God looks at my heart. Listen, if you didn't know this, I'm here to tell you, God looks at your heart. I know what we think. I know most religious people think. Most religious people think God looks at what you do. But how many of you know, oftentimes we can do something with the right heart and get the wrong result. But God's not looking at the result. He's looking at the heart of the matter. Everybody say, my heart. My heart. Listen, your heart is critical, just like in your physical body. Your physical body, if we removed your heart, you'd be... Yeah, imagine that. But listen, it is absolutely critical that you understand that your heart is everything to you when it comes to your spiritual walk and your spiritual growing in God. So you might ask, okay, what is the heart? Here's what the heart is. The heart is this, all right? The heart is a person's center for both physical, emotional, and intellectual and moral activities. Okay, now watch. I want you to begin to separate this, though. I want you to begin to separate it. Your mind, will, and emotions are located in your brain, right? Mind, will, and emotions. But check this out. Your heart is where your spirit resides with God. It's oftentimes used in the Bible as spirit. It's oftentimes used as heart. But spirit and heart, the words interact, but it's the center part of who you are. Hey, check this out. It's the real you. It's the real you. And most people know whenever I say it's the real you, you understand what I'm saying. That you can put a facade on the outside, but when we talk about the real you, now we're talking about your heart, who you are at the core of who you are. Y'all following me, what I'm saying so far? All right, now watch this. Check this out. So that's simply what your heart is. Now watch. How you live your Christian walk has everything to do with your heart. It's the tune of your heart. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, what'd that song have to do with it? Listen to what it says. My heart's a stereo, first part. My heart's a radio. What does a radio or a stereo do? Here's what it does. It receives and then it transmits. It receives and then transmits. It receives and then transmits signals. Amen? Amen? Unless you were born in the 80s, then you had a boombox and you didn't play the radio. No, you played tapes, baby, cassette. If you were born in the 70s, it was 8-track, and I feel sorry for y'all. But anyway, the first 8-track tape, first thing, I remember my first cassette tape. I remember when you first could start recording music off of the radio onto a cassette tape. Anybody? And you felt like you were ripping them off because you ain't going to buy the tape. And the quality wasn't that good, but it was free. Anybody stay listening to the radio for hours to hear the one song you wanted to record on the tape? Come on. I think we won. Man, I'm telling you, it was good times, right? All right, check this out, though. So a radio transmits and receives. Now, listen, that's what your heart does. Your heart is a transmitter and a receiver. And just like the physical heart, your physical heart is receiving blood and it's pushing out blood. Y'all getting that? All right, now watch. Your spiritual heart does the same thing. All right? Now, check this out. Here's where we go. Listen to this. Mark 7, Jesus said this. And he said, whatever comes out of a man defiles a man. All right? You can help me. Verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men proceeds what? Evil thoughts. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that verse right there. I just want you to capture that verse. From within, out of the heart of men. Do y'all see that? From within, out of the heart of men. Now, let me tell you something that I have thought for years, which actually is biblically not really accurate. Okay, here's where the train of thought that I had grown up under. The train of thought that I grew up under was, I've got issues in my life. And my issues are in my mind. My mind, will, and emotions. Okay? So what I need to do is I need to take the Word of God and I need to renew my mind with the Word of God. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? If you've been here long, you know this. I'm going to renew my mind with the Word of God. And I'm not here to say that's untrue. It is true. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God. Here's what we fail to mention, though. We fail to mention that there can be a deeper root issue in you that's not in your mind. It's not in your mind. It's in your heart. If the tune of your heart is tuned into the wrong frequency, I can take and shove a King James version of the Bible in you all that I can do. But if the tune of your heart is off, there's nothing I can do with the Word of God in your mind. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Hey, let me flip it around. You could have a tuned in heart to God and without a Bible verse live a victorious life. Without a Bible verse. Why? Because it's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. There's something going on in your heart all the time. It's the real you. It's the real you. And Jesus said, now listen, check this out. The real you on the inside, if you're not careful, things will come out of your heart that are out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulterers, fornication. He goes on and lists a bunch of sins. Now watch. We want to tell people, or we like to tell people, don't do this. Don't behave this way. Don't cuss your neighbor out. Don't flip somebody off. Don't run somebody off the road. Don't beat up your neighbor. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't this. But how many of you know those are actions? If you was to root that thing back from that action, you would find out that that entered their mind. Right? They were thinking wrong. And you've heard the term stinking thinking. They were thinking wrong, so they acted wrong. But you know what a lot of times we fail to mention is, it's more than just what they were thinking about. It was the meditation of their heart. And if we really want to change someone from the inside out, we've got to deal with their heart. Amen? So if God wants to change you, guess what he wants to start? He wants to start in your heart. In your heart. Because here's the deal. If he can change your heart, he can begin to transform your mind and begin to give you the life that you and God both desire. Y'all getting what I'm saying? Starts in your heart. Starts in your heart. Check this out. As we go through this, look at this this verse, Proverbs 4:23. And keep your heart with all diligence. Look at this. Keep your heart. Again, tonight we're laying the foundation for where I want to go the next 4 weeks. Keep your heart. What is to keep? Keep means to guard or tend. It's the same word that God told Adam and Eve to do in the garden. To tend or guard it. To watch over it. You're to be a guardian of your heart. You're not supposed to allow everything into your heart, and you're not supposed to allow everything out of your heart. You're supposed to guard your heart. You're supposed to keep your heart. You're supposed to watch over your heart with all diligence. For out of it, get this, out of it flow what? Springs forth the issues of life. Oh, y'all. Listen. Your life right now is a product of what started in your heart. If we can control our heart, we can control our life to a large extent. If your heart's off, your life's off. But if your heart's right, your life will be right. Well, Pastor Charlie, it ain't that simple. You gonna who's right? I'm gonna pick you or pick God? For keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, flow all the issues of life, everything that's flowing into your life. Now, watch this. Is your health connected to your heart? Is your mental state connected to your heart? Is the way you feel about your job connected to your heart? Is the way you feel about your church connected to your heart? Is everything in your life connected to your heart in some way, shape, or form? Absolutely. Every aspect of it. Out of your heart flow every issue in your life. So now watch. If we want to change something in your life, guess where we need to start? We need to start in your heart. We need to get your heart tuned in to the right frequency so you can operate at the right pace, right rhythm, so that everything moves in time. Everybody get me? All right, now check this out. It gets better and better, and I love this part. Check this verse out. A good man, Jesus. And again, I want you to see these. Matthew 12:35. For a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So if you want good things in your life, guess where it starts? Come on. It starts in your heart. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure in his heart, brings forth evil things. It's pretty simple, Pastor Charlie. Everybody knows that stuff. Not necessarily. Not everybody connects their life with their heart. They say, my boss is a jerk to me because he's a jerk. Ain't got nothing to do with my heart. Yes, it does. Has everything to do with your heart. Every issue in your life in some way, shape, or form is connected to your heart. Hey, watch this. Your health is connected to your heart. Everything is tied to your heart. Everything is. And through this series, I want you to begin to look real close at where your heart is at. Where is your heart? What is your heart doing? Why is your heart doing that? Okay? Watch this. I'll give you some of the science because I dig this stuff pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Check this out. How many of you believe that your heart produces things called feeling, emotions? Anybody knows that? Heart. Your heart has feelings, emotions, and things running through it. When your heart has emotions and feelings and all those things, your mind has an opportunity to agree or disagree with those things. And as your heart guides you, you have to guard it and keep it moving in the right direction. Otherwise, you end up in a ditch. I'll give you some science here. Check this out. This is from a chick, Marcel Pick. She's an OBGYN doctor website I got it off of. These are not Christian websites that I got these off of, but I want to share them with you, all right? Check this out. Conventional theory in medicine says that your health is a matter of genetics. How many of you heard that? All right? It's a matter of genetics. Exposure to infection and lifestyle. But the rare exception, your emotional experience is a greater factor than any of those. That's not just our assertion. There is solid science behind the correlation between emotional experience and a host of disease and health conditions, from heart disease, depression, to obesity and chronic pain. This study they did through the 1990s, they studied over 17,000 patients of a large health plan. Were enrolled in a study to assess the links between emotional experience and adult health. Federal Center for Disease and Control co-designed the study. The results were stunning, as the author wrote. They have given us reason to reconsider the very structure of primary care medical practice in America. Participants were asked whether they had experienced any of the 8 forms of personal abuse or dysfunction in family behavior before the age of 18, each called an adverse childhood experience, or ACE. More than half of the patients had an ACE. I know, you're like, what's this got to do with my heart? Listen to this, and I'll bring you in on the end. I'm giving you the information. We'll pull it together here in a minute. Listen to this. Even more surprising was the correlation between health outcomes. Those who had experienced an ACE, and again, that's adverse childhood experience, get this, were between 4 to 50 times more likely to have adverse health conditions or disease as an adult. Kids that are raised in a bunch of trauma are sicker as they get older. Okay? Listen to this. The adverse health outcomes covered a surprising range of things, including heart disease, fractures, diabetes, obesity, alcoholism, and more. Authors conclude that an ACE study documents the conversion of the traumatic emotional experience in childhood into, watch this, organic disease later in life. Out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Y'all getting it? Jesus said, out of a good man, out of the good treasure in his heart, brings forth what? Come on, talk to me. Brings forth good things. Evil man, out of the evil treasure in his heart, brings forth evil things. All right? Science is agreeing with the Bible. They're catching up slowly. Slowly. They still got us on apes and everything, but they're slowly catching up. And I'm just going to read a little bit more of this to you. This, get this. What we then learn about from these families, abuse or dysfunction or loving, what we all learn from our families, abusive or dysfunctioning or loving, is how to take action with our feelings. If our mothers responded to grief or loss with withdrawal, or dealt with suppressing anger by becoming hypercritical of those who they loved, chances are our own responses will be similar. Okay, watch this. We tend to model what our emotional habits after our parents or our family's emotional habits. Would you guys agree with that? Everybody say it goes way deeper. I'm going to show you that here in just a second. Despite research like the ACE study and hundreds of other studies, conventional medicine is still blind to the casual, to its casual role that emotional experience plays in the development of illnesses and diseases. Instead of looking for the root causes, it only treats symptoms. No wonder so many patients find themselves going steadily downhill despite their best conventional treatment. I was asked one time what percentage of my patients were purely physical. That is, a lack of emotional component. After a moment of thought, I answered about 1%. About 1%. Strictly dealing with a physical issue. Strictly dealing with it. Say, what am I saying? Now check this out. I ran across a study and this is what I'm kind of basing this series off of. A guy named Dr. Jim Richards, if you want to check him out on the web, you can. But listen to this. This is pretty phenomenal stuff. He's a theologian, and he's a physician, okay? And here's what he says happens to you and I in our heart as we grow. Are y'all ready for this? This is cool. Your heart, which is the master control of your life, okay? Your heart sends signals. We're going to talk about it in a physical way right now. Your heart sends signals to every organ in your body. Your heart does. Not your physical. Your heart. Your heart. Say, Pastor Charlie, that doesn't make any sense. Well, think about it. When you're scared, do you have an adrenal gland? And it starts with a feeling. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? That feeling releases chemicals in your body. And those chemicals cause you to do something, right? Check this out. Your heart sends signals to every organ in your body. 2 weeks after conception, from that time, all the way to you're about 12 years old, here's what's going on. You are gathering data. You are. From the time 2 weeks after conception, you are gathering data. But it's not emotion. It's not intellectual data, it's emotional data. You're still in your mother's womb. You're gathering emotional data. Now check this out. Your DNA makes up who you are, right? Most of us have been taught that DNA is stuck. It's what it is from the day that you're born. Actually, science has now proven that it's actually not like that. DNA, you're... For the majority of you, 95% of you, the DNA is set. But there's a large portion of you that is a switch on or off, okay? And from the time of you, two weeks after conception, what's going on is you in your heart are gathering not intellectual data, emotional data, and it is going through your heart, flipping your DNA on and off. I didn't say this. These doctors say this. I'm making it simple for we so we can gather it. All right? So what's happening in your heart is switches, DNA switches are on and off, flipping on and off. And they are wiring you before you're even out of your mother's womb. And what is making up that DNA information is how your mother, your father, and the things that you are experiencing even in the womb. And this continues as you grow. Are y'all following me? Or am anybody glazed over yet? All right? But these things, now get this. This is how it affects your body. What happens in your physical body, how many of you ever heard of the idea that you can get sick and, you know, because your parents had heart disease, and one before them had heart disease, and they had heart disease. Y'all see what I'm saying? It goes back. Why is that? Okay? The reason is they say, well, genetics. What goes deeper than that? It actually, where did you get your genetics from? Your mom and dad, obviously. But it goes even deeper than that. It goes into what was the emotional state of what was going on while you were even in the womb. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this. Some of you have things in your heart that are not godly and you think it's your fault. You think you came up with it. You didn't come up with it. I'll give you an example with me. I have a strong sense of justice. I think justice should be served no matter what, y'all. For real. Everybody look at me. And that's in everything. Strong sense of justice, all right? So if I don't care from the White House to my house, if you lie, you lie. Nobody's above the law. You know what I mean? If you're wrong, come on, anybody know where I'm saying? A strong sense of injustice or justice. That's me. And now, where did I get that? I quite possibly got it from my father, who had a strong sense of injustice. He always felt like everybody was trying to rip him off and do him wrong. Right? And he's passed away. He may have felt like my mom did him wrong by getting pregnant. I don't know. But that switch was flipped in me. You follow me? Now, how did that switch get flipped? How did it start? It started, watch this, with an emotional data that I received, and then that switch was flipped on. So I'm wired that way. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying, right? Okay, now let me tell you what happens in the body then. When emotional data flips on and off switches, it affects your physical body. So watch. This is deep, huh? Like, oh man, I'll have to come back tomorrow for the next part of this. Check this out. Each organ inside your body has a frequency that it operates at. A frequency. Okay? Watch this. When that organ is operating the way it's supposed to, it has a frequency. When you're even in your mother's womb, that frequency is disrupted. It goes to that organ and causes dysfunction in that organ. And that's how you get genetically things generation after generation. Oh, I blew everybody away now. Check this out. I'll show it to you this way. This, and I got this off out of the science world. I didn't get this out of church world. Here's what science says. If you have anger, it weakens the liver. Did you know that? It weakens the liver. If you have grief, it weakens your lungs. Science says this. Charlie Riley don't. Worry weakens the stomach. How many of you had ulcers in the past? Okay, now get this. Here's what I'm trying to connect. I'm trying to get you to see that you may have been a worrier before you got here. Before you were delivered. And how did you get that worry switch flipped? It goes all the way back whenever your heart was being formed, your deep down inside, even in your mother's womb. So let's say it this way. Let's say you were the 10th kid coming in a line of kids. And your mother, when you were conceived, was worrying about how she's going to feed 10 kids. Your You were gathering, even in the womb, information or emotional data. And that emotional data said worry. And that switch went off in you. And now you are just like your mother who worried. And you ain't got no kids. And no reason to worry. But you can't stop worrying. Why? Because it's even down in your DNA. It's deep down in your heart. And if you don't acknowledge it, Jesus can't heal it. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? It's no wonder I had anger issues. My dad was an angry individual. Y'all, come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? It's no wonder. And look at this. And because, get this, when those switches are being flipped, when you're in your mother's womb and you're growing, guess what happens? Those cells that are dysfunctional, the physical cells in your body are operating and they are dysfunctional in that area of your body. And they are causing disruption. That's why the best thing you can do is to get Jesus in your heart. Why do we say it that way? Because when Jesus comes in, Luke 4:18, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Why? Why did Jesus himself say, I've come to heal the brokenhearted? He's come to heal the brokenhearted because that's where the roots are. That's where the problems are. We got to go in there and flip that switch off now so you're not worrying about nothing that is nothing. Well, then I'll be worrying about nothing. Well, don't worry about it. But I can't, Pastor Charlie. You know what I mean? And my point is to show you that science and the Bible all talk about your heart, and how it affects you physically, emotionally. It affects you in everything that you do. Your heart does. And what we've got to do is we've got to become aware of where our heart is and where our heart's at in everything. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'll read a little bit more of my notes here. I want to make sure I get through. Check this. Let me see what I got right here. Every organ has a frequency. A cell of a particular organ has a specific frequency. When that frequency is off, it causes sickness in your body. And it all started from what was in your heart. Everybody get that? Pastor Charlie, fan to follower, was a lot shallower than this. It's all right. I got to lay the foundation. Because I want you to see how important your heart is to everything that you do, man. Everything that you do. I can sit up here and I can pump scriptures at you, but if it's only hitting your intellect, you know what they say? Within 72 hours, 75% of what you hear goes out the window. Within 72 hours, 75% of what I say. That's how your intellect is. But if we can get you in your heart to the right place, how many of you know God can speak to your heart and minister to your heart? He can set you free in your heart. Y'all getting what I'm saying? All right, so check this out. Let me give you a couple verses. Look at what the Bible says about this. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 12:25. Watch this. Anxiety, which is another form of worry. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Watch this. In the heart of a man causes... So what we ought to do is we ought to give you a Prozac, because obviously you have a chemical imbalance. You may have a chemical imbalance, but that baby didn't start chemically. The Bible tells us where the root is. Anxiety of the heart. Everybody say, my heart. My heart. It's your heart. It's your heart. Well, I'm depressed. You see, I used to believe this. I can just come up here, lay hands on you, and cast depression off of you. Here's the deal, though. We can get your mind free for about 72 hours. Once you drop that verse, then it's still in your heart. I got to get you to fight that thing out of your heart. Oh, man, this is good stuff. Anxiety in the heart causes depression. But a good word makes it what? Glad. A good word. I'll get into it later in the series about how your words affect your heart. You know, your words have more. Think about when you're born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with your and believe in your, which one came first? The mouth. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes. You can't walk around. Here's my point. You can't walk around. I'm depressed. And not affect your heart. Every time you say it, you're programming your heart. It's like a computer program, man. You are putting data in. And every time you repeat what grandma said, well, grandma was depressed, so I'm depressed. You don't have to be. You can change your heart. Yeah. Say, I refuse to be depressed. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you see what I'm saying? Man, start changing the programming. Look at this. See, because, and then you wonder why, watch this, I'm depressed. I don't have any energy. You just keep saying it. You're empowering that heart, and it's releasing chemicals, and your body had no mojo, baby. No mojo. And it's not because you ain't got mojo. It's because you've done talked your mojo out of you. Praise God. We keep on going. Look at this next verse here. And again, looking how critical the heart is. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. You ever seen people that never smile? Yeah, I'm going to go on. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Broken. Sorrow of the heart, spirit is broken. Sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, spirit is broken. Have you ever met someone? They've been married for a long time. One of them dies very shortly after the other one does. So Pastor Charlie, what happens? By sorrow of the heart, spirit breaks. How are you going to fix it? You deal with the heart. Fix the heart. You ever wonder why? Charlie Riley, I'm going to give you Charlie Riley. You ready? Somebody's driving in front of you and they cut you off and you're just about to blow. Now, I could sit there in Jesus' name and I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise Lord. But I can't do anything with that feeling. Where does that feeling come from? That feeling comes from the heart. You follow me? And I've got to root up that feeling. And say, feelings, be gone. Oh, I wish it was that easy. Am I with me? Don't you wish it was that easy? It's not that easy. But you got to recognize where it's coming from. It's not coming from your mind, your mind, will, and emotions. Because your emotions know, if I run that brother off the road, I'm going to jail. I know it. My mind says that. It will happen, praise God. But the feeling is... Maybe yours isn't anger. I talk a lot about anger. You guys probably think I'm really whacked out. But I really am a nice, friendly, fun guy. All right. I have no friends. All right. Check this out. Check this next verse out. And again, just proving to you how important your heart is. Look. This is good. A merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, what? Dries up the what? Bones. Ooh, there's a whole lot in this verse, but I'm just going to take a few minutes here. A jolly heart. You know, God is a joyful God. He even says that the joy of the Lord is whose strength? My strength. Everybody say, joy is my strength. How many of you heard of the Three Stooges? You know, there was a guy that actually had cancer, terminal cancer. He was going to die. He went and bought all the Three Stooges movies. He did. Went home, started watching them, and he said, listen, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy. He went back to the doctor several months later. The doctor said, listen, bro, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing at home, you keep doing it because it's healing your body. True story. How phenomenal is that? My point is this. A jolly heart does do the body good like a medicine. Hey, check this out. This may be a revelation to everybody, but God actually designed you to be joyful and happy. Hey, listen, when you put your body under stress and discomfort and constant strain, it never works out well. I remember one time when the church was small, I got a phone call one time in the middle of the night, and the phone call stressed me out. Within 15 minutes, I had a big old canker sore on my lip. Went straight to my spirit. I mean, it was something that I was very, very passionate about. It hit me way deep down. And that emotion released chemicals in my body and made me sick. Even now, if I don't watch it, I find myself sometimes, if I feel myself getting worn out or tired or there's just too much going, then I gotta purposely back away, watch, because my heart is getting too wound up. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Check this out. One thing I wasn't going to say tonight, but it is something I was studying this week. Do you know that I didn't know this. This is pretty awesome. But check this out. You see that little dude? All right, check this out. When you lift your hands and tilt your head back, do you know that you actually slow the brain's activity and slow your ability to slow life down when you tilt your head back and lift your hands? Science says that. They call it some type of state. There's a specific name for it. But when you lift your hands and tilt your head back. And I thought, that's why when we worship God and we lift our hands and lift our face, that God speaks to us more often. It's nothing really supernatural about us doing that. It has to do with the state of where we're putting ourselves. Isn't that awesome stuff? A merry heart does good like a medicine. Does good. If you want your body to be healthy, and if you want your mind to stay sharp, keep a jolly heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Check this out. We'll go on. 17:22. Look at this next one. Proverbs 4:23. We already talked about it, but we'll look at it. Now, keep your heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it flows what? All the issues of what? All the issues of life. Every aspect of your life flows from your heart. For the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Luke 4:18. I'm just laying the foundation. Now I'm going to talk to you for a few more minutes about this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus said. For he has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal what? The brokenhearted. The what? The brokenhearted. Those that are broken in their heart. Those that are broken in their heart. I'll give you some life examples real quick. My dad. Give you a little history about my dad. My dad, when he was 4 years old, his dad died. All right? His dad was a no good guy. Got shot. They shot each other. Okay? Check this out. My dad at 4 years old was taken away from his mom and put in foster care. My dad told me stories about him running away and hopping trains to escape where he was living. All right, foster parents. Because in Louisiana at that time, they would have foster kids and they'd use them to pick cotton all day. Okay? Now watch. My dad and my uncle were the only two that got taken away. There were five kids, only two taken away. All right? They grow up, both of them ended up in state penitentiary. Both of them struggled with drugs all their life. My dad actually died of a drug overdose. Okay, now watch. My dad's staying with me. He's been there 3 months maybe. I told my dad there was some things he could not do, all right? Like, if we go get your medicine, you can't take the whole bottle in 2 days. Okay, for real. So I took his medicine away. 57 years old, 6'3", I took his medicine away. I took his medicine away. I said, I'm going to give you One pill for every day. That's it. Every day, I'm going to drop off your, I will give you your medicine. And he understood. Okay, that's fine. We left that day. I come back. He's standing at the door with the little bit of stuff he had. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, I'm leaving. I'm like, first of all, where are you going to go? You're in Indiana. Everybody's in Louisiana. No one in the family wants you to go live with them. Where are you going to go? You can't go anywhere. Second of all, Dad, we love you, and the best place for you to be is right here. He goes, but I just really want to leave. I said, Dad, you're going to have to muscle your way through this. And you're going to, now my dad was a Golden Glove boxer. My dad, no punk. And I'm telling him, Dad, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And I just kept loving him. I told him, Dad, I love you unconditionally. I love you with all that I got. All right? Now, I know you're like, what's this got to do with it? Just follow me here. So, there it goes. A couple days later, my dad came to me and he said, no one has ever loved me like that. No one's ever loved me. No one's ever been mad at me, upset at me, and told me I couldn't do something and then come back to say they still love me and it's okay. I said, yeah, that's the way we do it, Dad. That's the way we do it. Now, you say, why did I say all that? Listen to this. Check this out. Because I understood this. How did my dad end up at 4 years old running away and all that? What's that turn out as a man? It turns out as someone who is constantly feeling like they're rejected, they're less than, no one loves them. When you're taken away at 4 years old from your mom, you feel like no one loves you. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? And so watch this. For my dad's entire life, he felt like no one loved him. There wasn't nothing you could do to prove to this man you loved him. Nothing. Nothing. You could do everything on the planet that you could possibly do, and he still felt like you didn't love him. Why? Because the problem was not in his mind. The problem was where? In his heart. And what the bummer of the whole deal was, I was trying to get him to look at his heart. Dad, look at your heart. Your heart is off. Your heart is wrong. Your heart tells you no one loves you when the circumstance says everything contrary to that. Your heart's off. Now, I say that to say, what have you convinced yourself of about either God or yourself in your heart that's not absolute? It's not true. It's not true. This is why we've got to take every thought, every heart condition, and bring it to the Word of God and submit it to the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we got to cast it down and say it's wrong. So if you have a heart that says, nobody loves me, when the Bible clearly says it's different and people's own actions say it's different, then guess what? You got to say, okay, my heart's off. Okay? If you struggled with being loved, you know, your heart's off. Because surely someone loves you. No, everybody hates me. Really? Your heart's off. Your heart. So what I want you to do in this series, all right, and next week we'll start jamming in verses and practical stuff. I want you to begin to go home and to begin to ask yourself, where is my heart? Where is my heart? And here's what I want you to do. You got that little paper I gave you? Look at it real quick. Here's what I want you to do. This is a prayer, and I'm not much into saying prayers too much, but I thought this would be a great way for someone to start to transform their heart, all right? So let's just read through this, and then you can insert whatever you got going on on the inside of you. Heavenly Father, search my heart and discover the origin of, now check this out, this thought or feeling. What thought or feeling may you have going on the inside of you? I have a thought that I'm ugly. Well, who told you that? Okay? Well, I'm trying to figure out something else that somebody might struggle with. Anybody, give me something. Loneliness, all right? Loneliness, there we go. Heavenly Father, search my heart and discover the origin of this loneliness. Loneliness. I mean, think about loneliness. I can see how loneliness could get in our hearts real easy. Seriously. From the day you popped out of your mother's womb, they took you away from your mom, they put you on a cold piece of metal, put a heater over you, slapped your bottom, put things in holes and suck things out. And you know it wasn't done like that 150 years ago. Come on, am I right? I can see how loneliness could be an issue for a lot of folks. See, you were being programmed way back then. And let's just hypothetically throw in the idea that maybe your mother was a single mother who, when you were in your mother's womb, felt lonely. She was, you were gathering DNA. Switches were going on and off while you were in your mother's womb. And that may be the root of where all your heart problems started. I'm not saying that. I'm just hypothetical. Go to the very root of my being and resolve this origin in order to bring every aspect of my spirit, soul, and body into harmony with the truth and by my true identity in Christ. Search through every generation, every cellular memory, every action, every expression of this loneliness, bitterness, anger, whatever, of whatever. Now look at this. Heal me completely according to the finished work of Jesus until your life, light, love, truth, righteousness, peace, and joy empower me to completely forgive myself in every inappropriate expression, distorted perception, and destructive behavior, and forgive every person, place, or circumstance that has contributed to my loneliness, bitterness, my anger, my frustration, whatever the case is. Whatever it is. I choose to express my love for myself and my right as a child of God by allowing every mental, emotional, and spiritual and physical disease and inappropriate behavior based on the root problem recorded in my DNA to be transformed. I choose being... If it's lonely, I choose to believe that you are with me everywhere I go. See? I'm putting on this, and I'm putting on the fact that I'm never alone in Jesus' name. You follow me? You're going to say the opposite. Say, well, I'm just always depressed. No, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to claim that right there. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm putting something off so I can put something else on. Okay? And I choose to feel whatever, happy, joyful, whatever your case is. I am blank. Don't fill it in negative. It is done. It is finished. It is mine by the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the grace to live in the fullness of my identity as a child of God and the new creation in Christ. I give you thanks, Jehovah, my healer, who is good and only good. You are my God, my strength, my hope, and my salvation. Express your personal love and appreciation to Him after that. Did y'all get that? This is how you begin to root things out of your life. You begin to root them up out. And I want you to keep this. We're going to be, the next 4 weeks after tonight, we're going to get right into it. I want you to keep that. So after each week as we hit on different issues, I gave you the foundation of the science stuff. Each week as we hit on issues, you can have that at home. So as you and the Lord talk about it, and as God reveals to your heart certain things that you need to be healed of in your heart, God will do it. And you can pray that prayer if you don't know what else to say. See, because maybe you've always felt broke. You're poor. Poor. And that may be way deep down in your DNA, man. Maybe way deep down in you, poor. And because you are always going to be poor, you could have $1 million and you still feel poor. Still feel poor. I've met people that, we've all met people that they act poor and they way better than me. Worry, you ain't seen worry, pal. Come on, am I right? Has to do with how you're walking. And all you can do is ask the Lord to reveal it in your heart. I can't do it for you. I can't give you a Bible verse to do it. You've got to ask the Lord to heal your heart. Come on, amen.